Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastoma Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So you have the three stages of learning, Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. So in the preliminary, this is from Chaitanya Shikshamrita, 7th chapter, part 1. So in the preliminary stage, you have Shravana and Manana. And then final Nididhyasana. So in the Shravana, you hear and there's submissive inquiry. Because you're trying to figure it out. Right? So if one is still in that argumentative kind of thing and challenging, then it hasn't actually come to the point of hearing. Because if you're challenging, you're not actually listening.
Yeah.
Like that. So it has to come to that point. Because when it comes to that point, then you can go to manana, which means reception, means now you're open to it, contemplation, practice, and then that brings you to understanding. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So practice is inside manana.
Practice is part of manana. That's what I was saying, because we say realization doesn't come without practice. Mm-hmm. Practice means then you have to be contemplating it to see how to practice it and how you have practiced it. Right? In other words, I'm going to contemplate how to practice it, and then having practiced, I'm going to contemplate how that went. What improvements are there? What could I have done to make it, improve it?
Yes.
But that means then you have reception, means you've already accepted it.
Yes.
You know? That means then before that there's submissive inquiry. So then how is it that it would work? So the submissive inquiry is an application, or we just don't understand it at all, so we're asking.
Yes.
Then the final stage, Nididhyasana, means there's realization, there's value, there's experiencing, there's tasting. Right? So understanding doesn't mean that you taste or experience. It just means it makes sense. It's logical.
Just to confirm, even manana had realization along with contemplation.
No, it has understanding.
Understanding.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the whole point, was we have to always hear. We hear, then it's inquiry should be on how it's understood, or even how would we practice it.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So, yeah.
Submission is the key, is very important.
Which?
Submissive inquiry.
Submissive inquiry. That's why it says that. Submissive, wanting to know, yes. Pranipata, then submissive inquiry, right? Yes. Then seva, practice. Yes. That will get you to realization. So we see it's part of this, just, that's the Vedic system.
Yes.
So that's why qualities develop and all those things. Mm-hmm. Well, in others, qualities don't develop because you don't have the submissive inquiry, you don't have the practice.
Yes.
It's just a matter of memorizing things, getting to know them well enough that you can pass your test.
Yes.
You know, whatever it is, your high school equivalency test.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It means every country has, what is it? I think in England it's the O levels. I think, what do you call it? France, baccalaureate?
Baccalaureate.
Baccalaureate, yeah. America's SAT. They all have something that they're trying to get to, and that's the goal.
Yes, yes.
It's not anything else. So the Vedic system is, no, you have to develop character.
Yes.
Values have to be there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that means that comes from practice. That comes from contemplation, which comes from accepting it, which comes from submissive inquiry, like that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was just there. Because Sometimes it's just that sometimes we see is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur will give some nice, or Prabhupada will give some nice definitions, so we try to write them down. Problem is we can never remember what the heading was, you know. So that this morning it was like about the fourth or fifth one, and I'm looking all the way to the end and I can't find it because I'm thinking it's a different heading. Then some other interesting thing just in that, you know, in that context. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is Chaitanya Shikshamrita also, but this is chapter 1, part 2. As long as people, and this is in the section on Krishna Tattva, right, in the Dasamul. As long as people try to approach Krishna with pride of material knowledge, Krishna will remain far from their reach. But when such people call out to Krishna with a humble heart, they will see Krishna and experience the Lord's unlimited bliss. With the appearance of genuine faith, they lose their material pride and offensive nature. There is no room for caste, birthright, material knowledge, beauty, power, influence of material science, position, wealth, or kingdom in cultivating Krishna consciousness. For this reason, understanding of Krishna remains far away from those who are proud of their material status. It is easy to understand, then, why Krishna is disregarded in the modern world. Right? Because they don't want to give up that attitude. It means, in other words, if someone has actually cultivated and is respected for their professional attitude, you know, that's taken many years to cultivate, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. They don't want to give that up, but the problem is they won't get Krishna. Right? So then we'll say, oh, there's no room for caste, birthright, but from our position of false ego and from this, you know, idea that I'm very intelligent, I will throw this out. And so then we'll make sure we marry the rich guy's, you know, daughter to the poor guy's, you know, son, because we don't care for these. But it's not because they match. It's because we're doing this. You understand? So it's a different attitude. The unfortunate position of science is that it tries to know truths that are beyond its scope. Though it has no qualification for spiritual matters, science tries recklessly to understand and ends up with worthless conclusions and a depraved mentality. Krishna gives his mercy when a jiva shows humility born of association with devotees. Right? Because it has to be humility with the association of devotees. Because otherwise you have people in the world who are humble. But it's only when they're humble in the association of devotees that Krishna gives his mercy. Otherwise, being humble, that's just a reaction to previous cultivation on the material platform. So you value that, then it comes gradually. You know, just like somebody's humble, someone else has that, you know, that professional attitude. Someone else thinks that they're very intelligent. Someone else thinks they're very skilled. Or someone else thinks they're really cool. Or, you know, they cultivated all these things. But that won't get Krishna's mercy. So only in the association of devotees and you have that humility, that's where you get Krishna's mercy. This is the jiva's qualification for spiritual matters. It is impossible to gain spiritual knowledge by material intellect. It won't happen. So this idea is that, no, I come from a very intellectual background, you know, so therefore I can understand. It's no, that you'll be the last to understand. It's that's just how it works. Not that you can't engage that in Krishna's service. It's just that it won't, it's on its own, it won't, because Krishna is the most intelligent. What do we need with our intelligence we have is a small portion of his potency of intelligence that he's given us due to our karma. So why would that, he's in control of it, why would that give him? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay.
It's only my competition mood.
Yes, there's competition, yeah. So that's the whole thing, as we see from this 11th canto, is just Krishna saying, all these other things go. All there is just the consideration of what pleases Krishna in the association of devotees. Right? Hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees, that's all that's important. All the other things, yes, you the body is maintained by varna and these things. But the only purpose of maintaining is to be Krishna conscious. So if we take it that, no, these are, you know, what we have to maintain, we have to be practical, yeah, and then why are you being practical? So you can be Krishna conscious. So it's a matter of reversing that mood, because we're thinking, I'm very practical, I'm that this, I'm, you know, this is my qualification. But it's actually, no, it's being Krishna conscious is the qualification, and being practical may be how we maintain that position so we can be Krishna conscious. But we always have to see the Krishna conscious as primary, because the way it's talked about when you say, well, just being practical, Prabhu, that means Krishna conscious isn't primary, it's being practical is primary. You know, and so it's added, which is good. Anything connected to Krishna is always good. Right? Like that. And so, that's not the complaint. The complaint is it won't be progressive. It's weak because the attitude is such it won't attract Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, it's just, but that's in anything. You're doing kirtan, if you're proud, it won't attract Krishna. The one's doing it in that humble mood and that associate devotee, that will attract Krishna. So,
today morning's class that we discussed about the jiva and the atma and the prana. And atma is only consciousness that you mentioned. And
yes.
It is because of the prana that he's animating different things. But then it was a shocking news for me, in the sense that the atma is so insignificant that he's simply consciousness and cannot even do anything other than the potency of the Lord is not there. He just cannot do anything.
No,
he's so helpless.
He can't do it. All he has is desire. That's what the jiva has. Yes. Means if you're looking at the facts, that's all there is desire. So if he wants to be intelligent, he's willing to follow the rules of being intelligent, and Krishna will reciprocate his intelligence. Right? Then he's the intelligent man, or he's the practical man, or he's the successful man, or, you know, whatever it is. But it's his desire, and then he's willing to follow Krishna's rules, then he'll get it. But if he wants Krishna, then he has to desire Krishna in the association of devotees. Now, that when you're dealing on the spiritual platform, you don't have to make the distinction between the primary and secondary. They go together. But in the material world, because of our attachment to the secondary and putting the secondary actually as primary, and the primary, you know, we'll work it in when we can. You know, not even as just secondary, but it's just, you know, we'll see if it fits into our schedule. Right? That's why we focus on it so much, because that's where we're focused. Does that make sense? You know, like someone's into sports, then you relate Krishna consciousness to them through sports. Right? So since we're into the secondary, then you relate to you relate to the individual about Krishna through their secondary aspect. So that's why there's all the Varnashram and all these different things. Is that? Yeah. Okay. So then, at the bottom of 143.
Yes, Maharaj.
So we're in between where it says 13 to 16 and that line. Yeah?
All the way down.
Thank you, finish it.
So that means we're actually on the next page.
Yes.
Okay. I was thinking, but there's nothing there. Something important. Something that I didn't know. Not seeing the finer subtlety. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. One may ask, if lamentation and joy are qualities of Ahankara, not the Atma, why does the Atma accept those qualities and experience the suffering of samsara? No one will accept someone else's qualities if they give him suffering. Right? The answer is, Ahankara, Abhimana, is an imposition on the jiva, which takes its form by the gunas and karma. It makes the jiva receive its qualities for continuing samsara. Right, because it said that reception. Remember, it says in Manana there has to be the reception. So the soul is willing to take these, right? Because it has the idea it will experience happiness, joy, lamentation. That's not what we're after, you know. Unless, of course, then sometimes lamentation is there as a variety from joy, but generally it's not something sought after, right? So they don't expect it to give suffering because it shouldn't, right? That's in their mind. There should just be happiness, right? The soul Satchit Ananda means happiness is there.
Does ahankara for the jiva come in the spiritual world because of which then again?
Does the ahankara? Yes. Why would there be ahankara?
Or is only the desire in this against Krishna? Because
no, think about it. What does ahankara mean?
Ahankara means pride.
Yeah, and what is another way we translate it?
False ego.
Right, so in the spiritual world, will there be false ego?
Only true ego.
Yes, so then why would there be ahankar?
Because he has that separatist mentality, that's the reason why.
But why would they have that in the spiritual world?
No, no, it's about...
No, but I'm saying, your question was about, do they have it in the spiritual world? Stick to that point. Why would they have false ego in the spiritual world?
They don't have false ego in the spiritual world.
Yes, so then why the question would come up? Do they have a ahankara? So we just pointed out, they don't have false ego, so why would they have a ahankara?
Mm-hmm.
They have, I'm servant of Krishna. That's why we cultivate, I am servant of Krishna. That's real ego.
Yes.
But I'm this, I'm that, you know, it's probably all they always talk, you know, I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm Russian, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakura even mentions Prussian, like that.
Yeah.
Is that, because then it was Prussia, it wasn't Germany, but they were Germans, but it was Prussia. Because the Germans with the biggest false ego were the Prussians, and so they took over all the other Germans. Does that make sense? Yeah. No?
Yeah, we lived in Prussia.
Huh?
We lived in Prussia.
You lived in Prussia?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
I didn't.
Huh?
I didn't.
You didn't.
That was before we met.
I see. I see. In a different yuga. Yes. Yeah, because Prabhupada would use, I think, Russians. No, they both used Russians. I think Prabhupada would use more the English or Europeans. I think we'd just say in general. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur said Prussians, because I think they were the big empire at the time. That mid-1800s, they were quite strong. Must have been after, what do you call it? Yeah, it would have been after the liberation, right? So then Napoleon and company would have already been gone, something like that. So, yeah. Yeah, I think we come up to that in 12th canto. Bhumi Devi is sitting there laughing that, you know, every so much time then this empire comes up and they're the big ones and then they go down, the other ones come up and another, like even at one point, you know, the Poles actually took over Europe. But they were so happy that they drank so much beer that they were so drunk that everyone else just went back to normal, and then, you know, it reduced down to it's just Poland again without a fight. Just no one maintained it, you know, like that. So yeah, so everybody had their time, right? Okay, The answer is ahankar, abhiman, is an imposition on the jiva, which takes its form by the gunas and karma. It makes the jiva receive its qualities for continuing samsara. Ahankar is subservient to the Lord, called Kala, one who pushes. It is called by many names, such as body in the scriptures, concerning jnana. The jiva, bound by ignorance in the form of ahankara, falls into suffering and samsara. So the body is, you know, the gross, some it'll be the subtle body, some it'll be the intellectual body, like this. But the point is it's some form that they accept. That's the ahankara, because they think through that I will enjoy. But instead of enjoying, then you also get the lamentation, the suffering, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So, Mark, can we say that to have a body means it is a sign that we have our own car?
Generally is, yes. Generally is, like that.
Yeah.
And then those who don't, because of our ahankar, we can't see it.
Yes.
Sri Krishna continued. Although the false ego has no factual basis, It is perceived in many forms, as the functions of the mind, speech, life, air, and bodily faculties. So, it's warmed up. The hat's come off. He doesn't change his clothes. He just, if it's cold, he puts on a hat. If it's warm, he takes the hat off. That's simple, right? Straightforward, you know, like that.
I'm happy.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it's good. If that's all you need to do is put on a hat, then that's quite easy. Yeah, okay. So this false ego as functions of the mind, speech, life, air, and bodily faculties. But with the sword of transcendental knowledge sharpened by worship of a bona fide spiritual master. Right, you see in this 11th canto, it's push this point so much.
Yes.
Bona fide spiritual master association of devotees.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. It's mentioned in other places, but then the emphasis will be, I mean, not that it's any less emphasized, but it's just that it'll show the process of karma yoga. Yes. You know, it'll be much more strong. But we see in here, then he's getting down to, it's only that knowledge coming from bona fide guru, that, you know, and then practice in the association of Vaishnavas. That's what's going to actually cut. That is the sharpness on this sword of knowledge. Right? Because otherwise, then for the jnanis that don't have this, then the sword's not that sharp. Yeah. They can cut away many things, but they can't cut away the false ego that I'm the controller and enjoyer. Yes. Yes. So they come back.
Yes. The branches that hurt the root.
Yes, they get, yes. They cut down the tree, but they're at the root, and then it grows again. Okay, sharpened by worship of a bona fide spiritual master, a sober sage will cut off his false identification and live in this world free from all material attachment. Footnote 52. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. Bhagavad Gita 4:42. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Right? Because that's what will cut it down. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns. And there, surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began, and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. Bhagavad Gita 15:3-4. So that's the point. Detach it from the material world, then one can cut down the involvement in the material world. Right? You perform your devotional service. You're involved as much as you need to be to maintain the body and the situations. But the point is that service. With that, then one comes to the point of surrendering to Krishna. Right? So, that someone's following the process means they've surrendered to Krishna. You know, and then there's that further surrender, because you're trying to bring it to the point of exclusive surrender.
Yes.
So when it says you seek out that surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that means it's exclusive. So for us, there's surrender. And to various degrees, it's more or less the main part of our life.
Yes. Yes.
But it has to be that's yes. all there is. Yes. It's just Krishna. Yes. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So then that gives the whole point of the spiritual master, the devotees, the holy dawn, because this is all connected to Krishna. Yes. Right?
But now it seems that it is the most difficult to go from a... For example, to join ISKCON is one thing, but to become a pure devotee is more.
But at the same time, if it's appreciated, it's actually an easier path. Because the material path is actually the foreign path to the living entity. Because all this lamentation and suffering
yes.
is not actually natural for the jiva.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, it's basically kind of by the time they're 50, 60, 70 years old, they've kind of got it figured out. But then the problem is that, you know, because now they're proud of what they're doing, they're not watching on the ground, and there's a banana peel there that, you know, by slipping on that, then they end up in their grave. So, you know, so that's the whole problem, because it's not natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. So that element of just naturally being about the Lord. So if one's detached from the material world, then you can seek out Krishna. What is Krishna? What's that path that Krishna's on? Mm-hmm. That path of devotion means you're following Krishna. So in this situation, where's Krishna? Right, you know what I'm saying? So the difference is that Krishna, only by having that sincere surrender, then he'll reveal himself. Otherwise you can't see him. Well, if you just look long enough, Waldo, you'll find. But for Krishna, it's actually he has to reveal himself. So many times. Yeah? Well, that's the difference. You ever wanted to know what is the difference
between Waldo and Krishna?
Yes, that's the difference. So, Waldo you can find. Krishna has to be revealed. So real spiritual knowledge is based on the discrimination of spirit from matter. That's what you have to do, is see what's the difference between the two. And then that spirit, what's connected to Krishna, what's pleasing to Krishna. So the more that is coming, then it means it's more about Krishna. Mm-hmm. So it just becomes more and more prominent. So it's natural. That's the whole thing, is the more you evolve, the more natural it is. It's just that we're worried that this is our identity. Without this identity, how I'll function. You know, all these kind of things. But then you actually see is, no, it's not me. And you can function. And it's actually, you can function better. Right? Because you see all the, otherwise, why would all these great personalities accept that? You know, and you see these personalities are people who are emperors of the world. You know, in the last Ayla Gita, he's emperor of the world. Right? And who does he hang out with? Urvasi, right? Not even one of the other. When it says the big five apsaras, it's not counting Urvasi. She's in her own category. Right? And so he is seeing this. Right? Maharaj Yadu, right? No, it's the Ayati, right? He was the emperor. Like that. Maharaj Yadu is then be able to see and perceive and get that instruction from Dattatreya. Uddhava, his guru is Brihaspati. Right? So there's, you know, no one around here that's even that smart. Right? You know, Krishna can appreciate, because he's the origin, you know, the origin of Uddhava's smartness, you know. But all of them come to this path. So it is the natural path. And these other things, then they're not actually so natural, because whatever is important for us today, tomorrow is not so important. You know, we get into something, we're totally into it, and then next year we're not into it at all. You know what I'm saying? You know, like we were saying before, you know, do we put the Cheerios first, then the milk, or the milk, then the Cheerios? And then come back after a year, and they're not even eating Cheerios. They're eating, you know, Weetabix or something, you know, something. Huh? Yeah. But now, do you put them first or float them on the top? Yes.
Granola is yogurt.
Huh?
You eat granola with yogurt.
Yeah, that one I haven't quite gotten yet. But I mean, granola is a Swedish thing, and they eat it with yogurt, so it is pretty standard. In America, you just eat it with milk, so I haven't figured out the yogurt thing yet. Like that, yeah. So what do you call it? It's too elevated.
It's a yoga ladder.
Yeah, the yoga ladder. Yeah, the yogurt ladder. Yeah, we're done. We haven't even made it to the ladder yet. Yogurt you eat with a spoon, right? You know, it's like that. Without the granola.
Like that.
Huh?
Yeah, so like that.
Yeah, like that, yes. Very esoteric. Real knowledge is based on discrimination of spirit from matter and is cultivated by scriptural evidence, austerity, direct reception of the Puranas, historical narrations, and logical inference. Right, so these are the methods. Right, so scriptural evidence. You know, it somehow or another does not mention here the, how you say, gossip on the internet.
They didn't have internet.
But we told you about the what? Katacharit Sagara? We told you about that. No?
Memory short.
Huh? Yes. No? No one remembers?
Yeah.
You remember. Others don't remember.
Maybe if you start.
You'll remember. So, Parvati, because then every day, then, you know, you go down to the well. I mean, it's either going to the river or the well, depending on where you are. So if you're in the cities, you generally go to the well. So then you have these huge wells. Have you ever seen these village wells? Mm. Sometimes they have this huge platform in the well in the middle. And it's all designed for water to run off, and it won't go back into the well. And, you know, it's a whole nice thing. And you go there, you draw water for that, wash clothes, do all that. So all the ladies go there. And then what do? You have to talk gossip, right? You know, like that. And whoever's got the best gossip wins, right? How you say? It's like that, what do you call it? That adage, you know, he who gossips wins. Right? You know, like that. Isn't that how it works? Yeah. So then, she was getting tired of having nothing to say to them because they all had somehow or another more gossip. So he asked her friend, husband, I want to hear something that no one's ever heard before. Right? So then he started describing. And he told all these, you know, huge amount of, I mean, when you say Katasagara, it means an ocean of, basically, you could say Gandharva Prajalpa. Right? Because the Prajalpa down here is not that great. You know, some stories here and there. But it's like throughout the, it's the Prajalpa of the universe, right? So then Shiva says all that. So Parvati's very happy. Then, the next day, she goes down to the well, you know, to tell her stories. And then before she can even speak, the other ladies are already telling the same stories. She gets really upset. She goes back and tells Shiva that these are, you know, useless stories. Everybody knows these. You know, what do you mean? He says, I'm the only one who knows these. You know, no one else knows. It means it happened to the people that were involved. But other than that, no one knows these. He's the only one that knows these. You know, I'm sure Paramatma knows these, but he doesn't care, right? So Shiva, so then it was, how could someone know this? And then he asked who it is, you know, who told? And then he told the women who were saying, and they were the wives of, you know, three of his associates who are generally, you know, are his, you know, his personal assistants. Then he calls them, right? And he says, what's happening? You know, why is it your wives are telling these things? He says, he finds out that when Shiva and Parvati came in the room, they were doing some service in the room because they came in, and generally if it's Shiva, that's one thing, or Parvati, but there was two together, so that they just hid under the asan. So they heard all the stories, and when they got home, they told their wives, and they're like, yeah. Right? Yeah. So then I'm not sure who cursed them. Either Shiva cursed them, or yeah, probably Shiva cursed them. And then they came down to the earth, and then I think it was something they had to tell all the story. There was some kind of thing, and when that was done, then they would come back. You know? Because they were, you know, close associates. And so, you know, what the whole story of them, I don't remember. But the one part that's relevant for the Katacharit Sagara is that one of them, somehow or another, I don't know how it was revealed or this or that, but then he got all the stories, and he was, you know, it somehow or another always seems to happen in a people tree. And so he had to take people leaves and then write them all down, so maybe it was also a Brahma Rakshasa or whatever it is, whatever, like this. And he had this sack of, you know, stories. And so then he went to the king to tell the stories. He said, I have these stories, never been heard before, this, that, blah. And the king was very interested. And then when he started to speak, it wasn't in Sanskrit, it's in Paisach. Paisach is a Prakrit language of Sanskrit. You know, you have Sanskrit as the main, and then you have all the Prakrit languages. But so one of them is Paisach. It's a kind of Sanskrit. But it's the Sanskrit spoken by the Gunas, by Lord Shiva's associates. right? So if it, you know, Brahma Rakshasa speaks, he's going to be speaking Paisach, right? So it's considered an inferior language, and so it would, the king wouldn't listen to it, so he kicked him out. Now I'm not sure whether if he was a Tamil king, because then you know it's, that's you know like that, but they also have a thing about Tamil being the supreme language and something like that. So whatever it is, the guy was kicked out.
There's a whole subplot there.
Yeah, that we won't get into. You can see the things bubbling under there. Yeah, so you just don't want to go there, you know, like that. But it is also a Kailash language. So it's not Sanskrit's there, and it's a derivative that is a language between those who speak pure Sanskrit and those who you know, speak the Kailash, the Paisach. So it's something that's in between. Because when we won't get into that. So then one day the king went out to hunt. You know, they go out with their entourage and a big thing and all that. So they send out, you know, the men to go find, you know, they go out, they go looking around, and there's no animals. You know, so they get tired, they set up camp and all that. And he sends out scouts, go find where the animals are. You know, what's happened, you know, where are they? And so then they all go out, and then they come back and said, all the animals are in one place. Every last animal. You know, the birds, everything. And they're all together. They're not killing each other, eating each other. They're all there. And he says, why are they all there? Because there's this sadhu. He's there, and he's reading stories. And they're all listening to the stories. Okay. Yeah. Right. So now the king's impressed. So he comes in. And as soon as the animals see the king, they know that means hunt, so they disappear. And then he goes up to him and this and that, oh, great sage, this, that, blah, and this and that, said, what are these stories? These are amazing. And the animal says, no, they're not very, no, they're not much size. So what he's doing is he's taking one leaf, reading it, and then once he reads it, he throws it into the fire. He had a fire in front of him. Like that. He said, don't, like this, you know, like this. So he says, but this is what I came to your court with, and you kicked me out. And so then the only ones that would listen are these animals. Like that. So he was saying the stories and that and then throwing them in the fire. So what was left was one-tenth. Right? And that in English is seven volumes. So it was originally 70 volumes of Prajalpa. So when you say there was no Prajalpa back then, no, they had Prajalpa. Like that. And it's Prajalpa that's worth discussing the story today. Well, the other Prajalpa after, you know, after you've heard it, no one wants to hear it again, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
You want to burn it.
Yeah, you want to burn it. Yeah. So we're good? Yes. Okay, direct perception. Right, but you're going to see it. You know, reception of the Puranas, historical narrations, we hear from there, see how different individuals, they were applying these things, or how they apply these things were applied to them. Right, means how the workings of the material world is applied to them, the modes of nature, how others have transcended them, like this. And logical inference, so then you'll apply that to your situation, and then from that, then you'll get the direct perception, right? But that requires the discrimination. Okay. The absolute truth, which alone was present before the creation of the universe, and which alone will remain after its destruction, is also the time factor and the ultimate cause. Even in the middle stage of this creation's existence, the absolute truth alone is the actual reality. So even though the creation is there, everything being based on Krishna, he's actually the reality. Right? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura writes, jnana is discrimination. The factors in cultivation of jnana are described. The Vedas, following one's dharma, tapa, one's realization, pratyaksham, instructions, aitihyam, and reasoning, anuman. The result is described. Right, so these three, the anuman, pratyaksha, and what is it?
Aitihyam.
And the Vedas, so that's shabda. Yeah. Like that. So the instructions, Aitikya means that the Veda is there, and then how that's given to us through the Parampara. So we're hearing from the Puranas, right? So you're going to, the Veda says it, the Puranas then explain it, and then we have our Acharyas, they explain it, you know, so it's specific for us. So that aspect of hearing. So then that becomes your authority, right? So then reasoning and realization. So pratyaksha means, here it's not pratyaksha based on you starting from the senses and then analyzing. It's that you're starting from shabda, analyzing, and then you're able to see it.
Yes.
So for us, pratyaksha means the realization.
Yes.
Because it's a descending process, so it's the last. If the senses are the first thing you're starting with and then analyzing, then you're using the ascending. You won't get so far.
Yes.
Right? And then following is dharma, tapa. Right? So as here is tapa, up here it was austerity. Right? Prabhupada always says that, you know, performing your duty, prescribed duties, that's the austerity. Because sometimes you want to do, sometimes you don't want to do. Does that make sense? You know, austerity, like, you know, taking cold bath in the middle of summer, you know, or working in the kitchen in the middle of winter, you know, those austerities. Yeah. The absolute truth, which alone, Vishwanath, we're there. The result is described. That which exists in the beginning and at the end of the universe and in the middle as well is the cause, Brahman, which reveals everything. 53. Vritti. This is the line with the previous instruction that one should perceive only the cause and not the effect. Right? Because the effect is the you have concrete and
abstract.
Because then it's, you can do anything with it. You know, where you take it. But if you start from the shabda, and that it's all Krishna, starting from there, now what do you do with it? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're starting with Krishna, that's concrete. What concrete activities you can do with it, then you can have the practical that will give that that result and experience.
Yes.
So then the whole
yes.
thing becomes concrete.
Yes. Yes.
Well, the other way, it basically remains abstract. We will extrapolate some experience from it and make that our concrete. But that concreteness is based already on the false, you know, identity. So it's not actual real concrete, right? Because it'll change.
Right?
Is that yeah? Sri Krishna continued. Gold alone is present before its manufacture into gold products. The gold alone remains after the product's destruction. And the gold alone is the essential reality while it is being utilized under various designations. Right? Whether it's a bangle, an earring, or whatever it is because it's gold. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Similarly, I alone exist before the creation of this universe, after its destruction, and during its maintenance. Footnote 54. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33. So that's the reality. You see like this, then from there, then you start using the reasoning. And that will bring you, you know, under the instruction from the bona fide spiritual master, that will bring you to realizations where pratyaksha you actually see according to this. Because otherwise, many will say, this is very theoretical. But no, this is the process where you see this in a concrete way. That's the whole idea. The material mind manifests in three phases of consciousness, wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep, which are products of the three modes of nature, right? Because they're all that, because the modes of nature are brought up so much because of the false ego. So then the other aspects about the consciousness, because we see is that the wakefulness, sleep, and deep sleep, then they're also by the modes, right? So then, if in wakefulness, which is the mode of goodness, then if you're only interested in sense gratification or the identification with the body, that's passion and ignorance. That's not the proper use of consciousness. Because it's supposed to be that aspect in goodness, then you're supposed to be performing your prescribed duties, as previous said. So performing the prescribed duties, but doing that in line with the instruction from the bona fide spiritual master. Now you're going to discriminate between matter and spirit. Right? Then that will bring you to the transcendental, to pure goodness. Right? But otherwise, if in wakefulness we're just running after, what do you call it? The materialism, you know, like the American dream or, you know, whatever it is, like that. Then the difficulty comes up is then you're actually in a dream state. Because passion means the dream state. So you're mixing the conscious with goodness with the dream state. So what you're thinking is not actually real. And even if you do attain it, the enjoyment of it is not going to be real. Is that right? Otherwise, wouldn't all the rich guys just be ecstatic all the time? You know? Like someone's happy that, you know, they're interactive, they're nice, they're sharing, they're doing all these things, right? But are they? No. Why? Because they're grumpy. Why? Because they have all that and it didn't make them happy.
They're worse off.
Right? When he's a kid, he's thinking, I'll get rich and then I'll be happy. Now he's rich. He's not happy.
He's not a kid.
Yes, he is.
But at the same time, then if that's the thing, then he's not a kid. So that means being rich and being happy is actually a kid's concept. Okay, that makes sense. So he's just acting out his childhood.
If you give a kid $1 million, the problem is killing something.
Good chance.
Yeah,
because most people wouldn't be out in the Bonneville salt flats driving their Koenigsegg, right? They try to do it in the city. They would kill themselves. Okay. Solves the problem. Then he doesn't have to come up with the balance money. You know, just had enough for the down payment. Yeah. The mind further appears in three different roles. The perceiver, the perceived, and the regulator of perception. Thus, the mind is manifested variously throughout these threefold designations. But it is the fourth factor, existing separately from all this, that alone constitutes the absolute truth. Right? So that fourth factor, that's the... Turiya, yes. Something with a T. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, having explained that the effect is none other than the cause, the Lord now states that what is revealed is none other than the revealer. Footnote 55. Vritti. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan writes in his book Siddhanta Darpana that the Lord is simultaneously Vacha and Vachika. He is the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, and the word of the Vedas that describe him. So he is the Veda, he is the words that describe him, he is himself who is being described by these words. Vijnana means intelligence. Intelligence has three states, waking, dreaming, and deep sleep. According to grammarians, like Vyadi and Galava, the form tri yavastam is permissible. The causes of these states are the three items called cause, adhyatmam, effect, adibhutam, and doer, adidaivam. The effect of these three is the universe with the three states of consciousness. The fourth state, pervasive knowledge, by which all things arise in succession, is real. Right, so that fourth stage, that's the turiya. So then here's that mental state, the adhyatma, the cause, the effect, and the doer, adidaiva. So the adidaiva is the regulator perception. It means the perceiver, the perceived, and the regulator. So the perceiver is the adiatma. The perceived is the adibhuta. But the adidaiva is the regulator of perception. So this is what's going on. We say, but we're not, you know, it's outside of us, but that's actually what controls. That they're the regulator of perception. Right? Does that make sense? Because it's just like, let's say, there's a situation. People walk by that situation every day. One guy walks by and goes, hey, you could do this. Right? He goes into his garage, and next thing you know, he's a billionaire. Right? Isn't that how it works? Yeah. So if somebody do it, maybe that's the problem, is because now people live in apartments that don't have garages. That's it. Now, is this being done? Is this a conspiracy that's being done by these rich men to get everyone in apartments so they don't have garages? Otherwise, they would become.
Stop recording. Okay. Getting too close now.
Okay. And suddenly, the black helicopter.
There's a power out there.
Yes. Yes. Okay. The fourth state, pervasive knowledge by which all things arise in succession, is real. Okay. I think the quote is here, though. The quote marks are backwards, but I think it's from here. After the Lord shines, all things shine, and by his illuminations, all things shine. Right? So it's because he's there, that's why you can perceive. He sees, that's why we can see. We're only seeing part of what he sees. Seeing is going on, we can take part in that. Right? So depending upon our karma, our consciousness, then we take part in that degree of seeing. Krishna sees all things, we can see part of it. But it's accordingly, you know. But it's only because he's seeing that we can see. Right? That's Katha Upanishad 225. Quote, the Lord is the... Yeah, they're all backwards. The Lord is the eye of the eye, the ear of the ear, and the mind of the mind. End quote. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7. Then, these ones are... Okay. We cannot realize the fourth state except by special knowledge. End quote. This state is realized by samadhi. Unless those are going the other way. The Taittiriya Upanishad is saying this. Katha Upanishad is saying that. But the other one it doesn't say. Oh well. In any case, they're from the Upanishads. Sri Krishna continued. Right, so samadhi means that being absorption in the Lord, that's what puts you on this platform with Turiya. Because if you're absorbed in the mundane, then you're absorbed in the passion, goodness, or ignorance. And so then one won't come to this fourth state. Right? Sri Krishna continued, that which did not exist in the past and will not exist in the future also has no existence of its own for the period of its duration, but is only a superficial designation. Because whatever is there in the interim between is also Krishna. Right, so it doesn't. There is no separate existence of these things. It's only a supervision designation, because it's functioning in that capacity because of Krishna. We're thinking it functions on its own, but it's only functioning because of Krishna, because it is Krishna. Right? It is Krishna. It functions because of Krishna, and Krishna gives the rules and knowledge to work with that. So that's the point. It's complete. Right? So, yeah, we can see it doesn't leave a whole lot.
Yes. Yeah. If we see like that, we are automatically Krishna conscious.
Yes, that's the whole point. There's no room for anything else. That's why you see is that when one's willing to give up the false ego of I'm the doer, I'm the controller, I'm the intellectual, I'm the... You know, all these different things, then one can actually see. Because as long as you think I'm the one seeing, then you won't actually see. Right? As long as you think I'm the one who's doing, you won't actually be able to know what's going on. Because Krishna is the one who's seeing, he's the one that's doing. And we're taking part. Right? But this understanding is beyond good and bad. Before one has accepted the point that good and bad actually isn't the ultimate position, then only this can be appreciated. Because otherwise, as soon as you say he's everything, he's doing, so he is the one that's making all the trouble. All the problems that happen to me, it's all Krishna. So therefore, you can't bring it up. They have to be more purified. Right? So that's why then jnana yoga, then you can work in that. Because that means from karma, you become purified, so there's knowledge and detachment. In that platform, then you can appreciate this. But for the devotee, they just go straight through this because they don't have to go through this. The devotional service takes you automatically through the yoga ladder. But you don't have to separately go through it. It already includes, because you'll start off being more prominently engaging your activities in Krishna service. From that being purified, then the intellect will be engaged, and then it will be the mind will be fully absorbed. Right? In my opinion, whatever is created and revealed by something else is ultimately only that other thing. Right? Means you see, it's revealed by something else. It means whatever's created and revealed by something else ultimately is that other thing. So you have something created, you know, but it's revealed by another entity. Yes. So that other entity, that's the actual reality. Yes. Right? So Krishna's talking about himself, but he always talks from, you know, the third person. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. It has been said that the truth is that which exists without change through all three states of time. Whatever changes in time is not truth. What exists in the middle is not a separate existing object. It is only a name. Why? Whatever is revealed by another entity is only the revealer. The cause, not something separate. That is my understanding. Footnote 56. Those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. Thus they have concluded by studying the nature of both. Bhagavad Gita 2.16. Right? So, in the beginning there's Krishna, in the middle there's Krishna, at the end there's Krishna. So actually all there is Krishna. But if in the middle, the interim, you see other things, those actually aren't real. Because it's actually Krishna. So to think that there's something separate from Krishna, that's illusion. Right? So the material manifestation is still Krishna. So you should be able to see Krishna in all these, because if it's not there in all three stages, it's not real. So Krishna's there in the beginning, middle, and end. He's real. The soul's there in the beginning, middle, and end. They're real. The manifestation of the material nature is only there in the middle, so it's unreal. Material energy itself is there at the beginning, middle, and end. But its manifestation, right? Pradhan is unmanifest, it's there. But as manifest, it's only there in the middle. So it's temporary. It's not real. So seeing it in context of Krishna, that's what makes it, gives it the reality. So for the Vaishnavas, it's real, meaning it exists, but it's temporary. So it's the reality you give to it is its connection to Krishna. Okay. So, good?
If we have like a false identification, this we cannot understand.
It doesn't make any sense, because then how can all that means this is me?
Yes.
When it's actually it's Krishna. Yes. Krishna gives these things. Like he said, the big philosopher, Krishna gives them their philosophy.
Yes.
Right? The big intellectual, he gives them that intelligence. So whatever someone is that's a special and outstanding, it's Krishna's potency that's making it happen. Right, so the vibhutis are all Krishna is unlimited. So then, you know, they're all parts of vibhutis. You know what I'm saying? It's just something that's outstanding that's there. So it's Krishna's potency that's there. So, yeah. So you know, Mona Lisa is attractive because of Krishna's potency. Right? So that's it. So Krishna gives these things, and that, therefore, then, but. The living entity will think that they did this, and everyone will accredit them with it. But actually, they were simply the instrument for that happening. Does that make sense? Okay, the BBT purport states, everything should be properly defined in terms of the personality of Godhead, who is the essential reality of this and all other worlds. Oh, yeah, cool. Sri Krishna continued. Although thus not existing in reality, this manifestation of transformations created from the mode of passion appears real because the self-manifested, self-luminous, absolute truth exhibits himself in the form of the material variety of the senses, the sense objects, the mind, and the elements of physical nature. Right? So Krishna's all these four aspects. And so that's then why it functions. So that's what's real. So if you can see something, that means Krishna is allowing you to see. So that means Krishna is what's real, not what you're seeing. Right? But even that, if you look at it, what you're seeing is only real because that's Krishna. That the sense is there, that's Krishna. That the sense object is there, the seeing is there, that's all Krishna. So Krishna is revealing the whole adiyatmik, adidaivik, adibhautik aspect. So that means it's Krishna who's real. Yes.
The feeling while gradually studying 11 cantos, that the matter gradually disappears.
Yes. Matter, and all there's left is Krishna. Right? And because this, even though it's amazing, it's nothing compared to his pastimes of the devotees. So this is amazing. But it's the taste that's there in the interaction between Krishna and devotees. That's what's really special. So then that's what's brought out. Yeah? So that's that. So because when we started the canto, it was such a change in the flavor. Because the 10th canto is going, it has one flavor, you come into 11th, completely different flavor. So then the question comes up is, why would this be here? You know, why wouldn't this have been earlier? No, it's only having tasted that higher flavor of Krishna's Bhagavan. Now one can take seriously the dealing with the knowledge and these functions as Krishna's Paramatma and Brahman to cut our material attachments that keep us from tasting Krishna in his pastimes with the devotees as revealed in 10th canto. Because before that, you see, as all the devotees are engaging the secondary aspects, you know, in their service to Krishna. The focus is on that. It's about Krishna, right? But there's so much focus on that secondary aspect because that's our position. What we see is that once you get to the 10th canto, no one in there is in that position, right? They're all beyond that. They're all at that state of Turiya, right? And so that's why they're associates of the Lord. And so how to get there, now practically, now that we're interested, right? So now he's then revealing, because he's saying the same thing over and over and over again, this simple, simple point, but from different angles. You know, from your duties, from the modes of nature, like that. What else is, has he taken it? Yes. So all these different aspects. Yeah, from karma, from gyan, from varnashram, from all these different aspects as he's taken it, showing that all it is just Krishna. So what before is we would take it, there's all these things, and then there's these kind of esoteric things, the adiyatmik, adidaivik, adibhautik, the mind, the intelligent from the ego. We didn't focus very much on that. You know, we'll get, as it comes down, and then it goes down to ether, and then you get the senses, and then the sense objects, and all that. But how that's all adiyatmik, adidaivik, adibhautik wasn't very clear. Didn't seem so essential. And then that point of that, from the mahatattva comes the false ego. And that has three features. You know, the vaikarika, the taijasa, and tamasa. Then we're not taking so much attention to that. But you see in here, that's where all the focus is on those. Because those are the ones that keep us in material existence. You get rid of those, then you're out. Right? So if you're comfortable being here and engaging in Krishna's service, then that's already been nicely given. But just so that you know what is the point to actually focus on to get out, then that's what's here. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So it's very interesting like that. It's the 11th canto just removes the material. Because as it said in 9th canto, Prabhupada pointed out, and he also, I think, he said in the 10th, that the pure devotees don't actually see the material world. Because they see everything connected to Krishna. So their perception is different. So then here, 11th canto is all about that perception. So 11th canto is just about how to practically, you could say, how to apply pure devotional service on the platform of manana, so you can come to realization. So you know what is the knowledge, what to think about, how to think about it, so that you and practice it, so you get this. Before it referred to pure devotional service in there, and because any level can be engaged in Krishna's service, but then engaging, then there's so many obstacles. This, the 11th canto clears those obstacles. And you can see, because it also mentions you maintain your duties, so the position stays. So that's how you see in the Satya Yuga, and that you have these stories of these couples who are Paramahamsas. And their families, you know, they have children, they do their family stuff. But it's only because of duties, because that's their position. But they see it all in connection with Krishna and everything. So they're, you know, we'll catch the external of, you know, what they do, what are the duties between them, who does what, what's the moods, what's the attitudes, how to, you know, be successful, keep the marriage together. We'll look at that aspect of it. They're looking at it just as about Krishna. So if you're a pure devotee and you're associated with another pure devotee, what's the problem? Why you wouldn't stay together?
Yes.
Right?
Variety of pure devotees?
Sorry?
Variety of pure devotees.
So you're taking the story of Pingala here.
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
They were not pure.
Yeah, that's why she gave up that process, is it wasn't pure devotees. But we see is she got the benefit of that realization because there happened to be a pure devotee there. So by that association, yeah. So, yeah. So the variety isn't important. Yeah, that's good. Of course, you got to tell that to the modern society. Does that make sense? So you're seeing it from a different perspective, that on all these levels, they are the same thing is being explained. From the beginning of Bhagavatam, it's being explained. From the Gita, it's being explained. But it's taking us up through the levels of realization so that we can appreciate.
And actually makes you feel that it is actually possible.
Yes, it's possible. Because that's the thing, it's so simple. It's possible. Because before we had the ideas that if we take these things up, we're losing something. I have to give up something. But because we are attached to something, we have the sense of possession, yes, that has to be given up. So within possession, if you have possessiveness, you have to give some, you practice giving up possessiveness by giving up a portion of that possessiveness.
Yes.
Right? I am possessive of money, so therefore there's charity. Right, I possess of a time, so therefore then there's, you know, giving my time for something like that. That's altruism, right? You know, so these different things are there because we identify with it. But ultimately, then it's only difficult because of the possession. When we give up the possession, then, and we perform duties, then whatever benefits will come, will come. And then charity being part of it, it's just being done. So there's no difficulty in the gaining or in the distribution of of the money.
Yes.
That's why it says it's joyfully performed. Right? Because you're on the platform of Yashoda Sattva. So yes, it's possible. That's the thing. The idea is to get a glimpse. Because as soon as we have an idea that it is possible, then we'll be looking at it.
Yes.
And then whenever it comes up again, then we'll see it. Like before, you read a passage, you wouldn't see this. Now you read that passage, you'll see this. You know, so like that, it'll remind. And then slowly, slowly. Does that make sense? So the idea is that by hook or by crook, Bhagavatam is going to make you into pure devotee. That's the whole point. Yeah, that's the whole angle. Because, the perfection was trying to be obtained by Vyasadeva through Mahabharata. And it does. It maintains the culture nicely. It does all that. The religious aspect, it does nicely. But the philosophy, no. The devotion, no. I mean, devotees read it, and it will encourage and enhance theirs. But for those who aren't devotees, it won't. But the Bhagavatam, then, is just stripping away everything else, and just all that's left is pure devotion. But you start from pure devotion on the neophyte platform, then to the Madhyam platform, then to the Uttam platform. So, yeah. Sri Krishna continued, thus clearly understanding by discriminating logic the unique position of the absolute truth, one should expertly refute one's misidentification with matter.
Maharaj, we haven't read the previous Vishwana Chakravarti.
Oh, okay. Or the footnote. Yes, footnote 57. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. Right? Because here, unreal means they're temporary. But they'll appear factual. I think they'll last forever.
Yes.
You get your new toaster, you expect it'll last forever. Right? It's shiny. Why wouldn't it? Right? So it appears factual, though it's unreal. But you know, because of Krishna's, you know, being the toaster-ness of your toaster, that's why the toaster appears to be real. Right? And the toaster-hood of this toaster is able to, is proper that it carries the toaster-ness. So that's why it's... Yeah? No? Our Hungarian's not here. Because in Hungarian they don't have the difference between this and hood.
Huh? I'm trying to translate.
You don't have? Oh, yeah. So you don't have either?
In Hebrew we do, but not in Russian.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's the fun part, is because there's a difference. You know, you have childhood, childness, and you have childhood. So childhood is when childness is manifest. Through that. You know, by how they talk, how they walk, and all that. But the principle of it is already there beforehand. Then the childhood allows it to manifest. Right? So they're two different things. But
they go together.
They go together, yes. Yes. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Having concluded that there is no difference between the effect and cause, revealed and revealer, based on those two conclusions, the Lord now explains that Brahman is non-different from the universe. What did not exist previously and appears to exist now arises from transformations, vaikartika, such as Mahatattva and other elements. Right? There's a transformation. So that's the thing, the mode of goodness. You see, there's the transformation, but you don't get the problems of passion and ignorance. But there's still the transformation aspect of the mind. It is an effect of Brahman through operation of Raja Yoga, Rajoguna. Brahman, however, is independently perfect. It is not an effect, it is the revealer. Because of Brahman, there exist senses, tanmatras, mind, atma, and the five gross elements. By these arise the universe with variety, but it is only Brahman. So it's all Krishna. But then of Krishna, then as Bhagavan, that's the most attractive. But because this is all Krishna, it's not a problem to discuss it. That's why these great devotees, though they're absorbed in Bhagavan and in his pastimes, and even there in the pastimes, but it's not that they have a problem with the these aspects of tattva. Right? Because Krishna is tattva.
Maharaj, mind is called as atma, then? Atma also.
Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada says there's four levels of Atma. The body is Atma, the mind is Atma, the intelligence is Atma, and the soul is Atma. Okay. So it's just a matter of, you know, and then there's Param Atma, who's above all these Atmas. So the Atma, the soul, then identifies with these three lower Atmas, and those are the modes of nature. Right? So that's the problem. When they stop identifying with those and identifying with the Paramatma, that's when they come to the transcendental position. Okay, so understanding by discriminating logic, not using intelligence. Because these are coming up because if we've naturally just absorbed ourselves in Krishna, then there's no problem. But if we haven't, then these are techniques to cut off what is distracting us from Krishna and bringing us to Krishna. So discriminating logic, what's the difference between matter and spirit? That discriminating. The unique position of the absolute truth. One should actually refute one's misidentification with matter. Because we are not any of these things. We're in this body, we have this particular subtle body, it has its particular abilities, like guna and karma. But it's not ours, but it's what we have to work with. So this is what we do. Just like you go in the kitchen, there's potatoes, you cook potatoes. Yeah, there's no need to get mental, you don't have to identify with the potatoes. You know, you don't have to lament that it's only potatoes. You just use the potatoes. Right? You go in the kitchen, there's something else, you use that. You go in the kitchen, there's only sojana datta, then you got a problem. Right. Okay, and cut to pieces all doubts about the identity of the self, that we're servant of Krishna. Becoming satisfied in the soul's natural ecstasy, one should desist from all lusty engagements of the material senses. Mm-hmm. Right? So the natural ecstasy means the absorption in Krishna, being satisfied with that. Then that will increase, because the lust will distract one, because it seems so intense. In the beginning, it seems it's more intense than the natural ecstasy of the living entity. But with time, you start to compare it, and there's no comparison. Does that make sense? So then one gives up the lower because of the appreciating through intelligence the higher. That gives you that, then one can appreciate to have the taste. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, developing discrimination about Brahman by realization, teaching, and reasoning, one cuts doubts concerning Atma by skillfully rejecting the body as the self and then remains satisfied in one's own bliss, disassociated from all the senses. So it's not that their senses are necessary to give you happiness, because we look at it, without the senses we can't be happy. We don't need sense gratification to make happy. The soul can be happy in itself. Right? And then, where does that happiness come from? From the Lord. Right? Because with the same process that the material world is coming from Krishna, right? It said before the creation, then as Paramatma, he's thinking, now I'll expand myself. What does he expand? As material nature and as the jivas. So we're also part and parcel of Krishna. So then naturally, then that Satchitananda that is there, that's nice, that's coming from somewhere. That's coming from Krishna. Therefore, we'll absorb ourselves in Krishna. Right? Because we're an effect. He's the cause. Does this make sense?
The only problem is the false ego.
The only problem is the false ego. That's it. That's all. Nothing else.
Oh.
It's only that. Small-minded thing. Yeah. Verses 24-44, the perfection of yoga. Does that make sense? The senses are engaged, but in Krishna's service. That's how it's working. Sri Krishna continued. The material body made of earth is not the true self, nor are the senses. Something is just catching. Nor are the senses the presiding demigods, nor the air of life. Nor is the external air, water, or fire, or one's mind. All these are simply matter. So all the levels of Atma, everything connected with that, everything controlling that, everything that Atma is going to be absorbed in. Right. Similarly, neither one's intelligence, material consciousness, nor ego, nor the elements of ether or earth, nor the objects of sense perception, nor even the primeval state of material equilibrium can be considered the actual identity of the soul. So pradhan also is not, right? So that right there then wipes out, you know, all the whatever philosophies haven't been removed now by that one, then they're gone. Right? Because that's the whole idea. They're all trying to merge back into pradhan. Right? So there's always this merging kind of thing. All the other than Vaishnavas, there's always this merging thing. You know, whether it's pradhan, whether it's brahman, whether it's nothingness, right? You know, it's yeah. Somehow this merging business. For one who has properly realized my personal identity as the Supreme Godhead, what credit is there if his senses, mere products of the material modes, are perfectly concentrated in meditation? And on the other hand, what blame is incurred if his senses happen to become agitated? Indeed, what does it mean to the sun if the clouds come and go? Right, the senses get agitated. That's just what senses do, but he couldn't care less about them. Just like the sun is there, the clouds come in, it doesn't affect the sun. But if you're on the other side, then it has an effect. The clouds come, it gets dark, it gets rainy, like this and that. Indeed, what does it mean to this? Okay. The sky may display the various qualities of the air, fire, water, and earth that pass through it, as well as qualities as heat and cold, which continually come and go with the seasons. Yet the sky is never entangled with any of these qualities, right? So the senses may be focused, they may not be focused. It doesn't matter. Because one's always absorbed in the Lord. Right? So this idea that was there in the earlier, because remember, this all started from the discussion on how to control the mind, how to remove it from these sense objects, when that's not actually the point. The point is that you absorb yourself in the Lord, and the sense objects aren't something that you worry about. Right? The senses are just engaged in the objects of the senses according to how they connect to Krishna. They don't connect to Krishna, it doesn't matter. You don't get involved. Yeah. Yet the sky is never entangled with any of these qualities. Similarly, the Supreme Absolute Truth is never entangled with the contaminations of goodness, passion, and ignorance, which cause the material transformations of the false ego. Right? So, the false ego, these modes, then they're going on. Because you have the false ego and it has these aspects in it. Like the false ego is based on ignorance of our relationship with the Lord. And then within that ignorance, then you have goodness, passion, and ignorance. Right? But then they are always transforming and moving through. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur writes.
Can you say that like the original polluted consciousness, and then the mind has the three modes, or the three elements of the mind correspond with the three modes below that original polluted consciousness?
Means the mind has these. Means yes, because you're dealing with the mind, the intelligence, and the false ego, meaning the body. So it's that. So the false ego deals with the body, right? Does that make sense? Then you have the mind in the middle, and then above that we put intelligence, and above that, false ego, right? Because the subtleness is there. Below the mind, we put senses, which it controls, and then we have the body, which is where the senses are situated. Right? So the false ego, which is on the, you know, the higher one, it is connected with the body, which is the lowest of them. The intelligence, which is the next one down, is then connected with the senses, which is the next one up, and then the mind's in the middle. So these three aspects of mote affect all that, but the mind is the one that's controlling that whole scene. So as soon as the mind is not affected by the modes, it's only absorbed in Krishna, then you remove the whole material concept. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, "The Jiva Mukta becomes Brahman. There is no good or bad in him at that time. An example is given. The sky is not affected by the elements, which desiccate, heat, moisten, or contaminate with dust, then disappear, or by the season, which create heat and cold. Similarly, Brahman is not affected by ahankara, or contaminated by the gunas, which cause samsara." Right? So, he comes to that level of Brahman. He doesn't become Brahman, meaning that he becomes para-Brahman. But now he functions as Brahman. He's just always been Brahman. Right? The jiva is always in that liberated position, but because of false identity, they identify with this material creation. So then, when he comes to this position, he goes beyond this. He doesn't see identification there. So then he comes to that level of Brahman. Right? So that's the position. And from there, then you just continue on into that exclusive attraction to Krishna, which brings you to prema.
Right? Yeah. And now this level of Brahman is like neutral.
It's neutral, yes. Because that's the jiva, their position that they're manifest from is the position of neutrality. It's from the positive. It's the neutral position means it's the farthest edge. It's the edge of the internal potency. But it means it's right on the external. It's like the beach.
Yes.
You have the waves and you have the land.
Yes.
So the beach is both. You know what I'm saying? You stand in the place, you'll say, now it's the land. Then the wave comes in, and the water comes in, and then, you know, your toes are in water, and now it's the ocean.
Yes.
Right? Because when it comes up, then you'll say you're standing in the ocean. And then when it goes back, you'll say you're standing on the land. So that's the position, is that we're part, it means it's part of the land, but it's counted also as part of the ocean. It can function that way.
Yes.
So the jiva then... Then he takes shelter of the internal potency. Then they become as good as the internal potency, like iron and fire. That's why the example is given. Because when iron is left in fire, it'll always act as fire.
Yes.
So that's the natural position to be in. When they take the iron out of the fire, it becomes cold. Does that make sense? So the spark in the fire is always then illuminating. As soon as it comes out, then it basically is practically, you know, basically doesn't function. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Krishna continued, "Nevertheless, until by firmly practicing devotional service to me, one is completely eliminated from his mind all contamination of material passion, one must very carefully avoid associating with the material modes, mm-hmm. which are produced by my illusory energy. Just as an improperly treated disease reoccurs and gives repeated distress to the patient, the mind that is not completely purified its perverted tendencies will remain attached to material things and repeatedly torment the imperfect yogi." Right? So that's where the whole process of sadhana comes in. But you have to know is that this is where we're going to.
Yes.
That position. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. This is the platform. This is the spiritual platform. This is Turiya. Then the actual absorption is then in that fifth stage of prema. But this is the existence. One is unaffected. That's why these great personalities come to the material world. They're unaffected.
Yes.
These are just absorbed in Krishna. So for them there is no false ego, there is no modes.
Yes.
Is that, yeah, so that's their position.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrinda ki.